very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
I am
super girl.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the king. I'm telling mother.
Oh. Welcome to the Joffria Podcast. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
Many important matters require king's attention.
Okay, sorry, edit that. Somebody with me. It's Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
No, I'm ringing in the new year, Bubba. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter. And let me tell you, I was so glad when 2017 ended and then 2018 started and some of the things that caused 2017 to be horrible are still happening.
Yeah.
And even worse, there will be no Game of Thrones this year.
Not at all. And that's going to be one of the first things we're going to look at here on this episode of the podcast. We're also going to bring back and off some section entitled Book Bitchin'. Book Bitchin' in the past was where we looked at how the books would influence the show. Now that the show has surpassed George R.R. Martin's books, now we're going to look at how the show might give us a clue as to what's going to happen in the books. And so, as of this recording, George Martin has said the new book, Winds of Winter, might be out this year.
Congratulations. So, remind me, how long has it been? How long would that make it between the previous
book? It was after season one back in 2011 when The Dance with Dragons came
okay,
out.
Okay, so
Dance
7 years.
What's nothing? Nothing. 7 years. What have you been doing? He's been writing things other than The Winds of Winter. So, we're going to talk about when we think Game of Thrones is going to be back in 2019. Oh, that's painful to think about. Plus, we're going to do a book bitching segment, but instead of a specific character, we're going to look at book bitching the Iron Throne. Is there things we've seen on the show that might tell us what will happen to the Iron Throne in the books? We're going to look at that as we go through it. Because it's called book bitching, listeners, we are going to talk about book subjects. So if you haven't read the books or don't want to be spoiled on them, once we get to the book bitchin' segment, we're going to ask you to step away. Keep the conversation going. On our last podcast, we played a real fun game entitled Game of Thrones Character, Why Are You Still Alive? Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's the word double, the single letter P, the word podcast, plural. facebook.com/doublepodcast. And listen to that and tell us why you think some of these characters are still alive and have made it to season 8 when so many other characters, like Littlefinger, couldn't get all the way there.
Yeah, you can say that a couple times. He tried so many times to get all the way there with Sansa.
And he couldn't. So, Catfish, we keep saying that Game of Thrones will not be this year, 2018.
Well, but it's not like we're lying.
No. It won't. There'll be no new episodes this year.
Okay.
But here's what's crazy.
Tell me.
So, it's not like it's going to debut in January of 2019 either. So we're trying to just kind of put our thinking caps on and think, when in the world could Game of Thrones come back in 2019? How many months are we looking at? So Game of Thrones, as we know, is a Sunday night show. So I started looking at the calendar. Once again, it wouldn't normally come back in January, but let's look at why shows a lot of times, Sunday night shows, don't premiere in January. The second Sunday in January, January 13th, is the Golden Globes. That's a big award show. That's a lot of eyes being diverted from your premiere of Game of Thrones to possibly the Golden Globes. Just 2 weeks later, there's the Grammys. That's another thing that's going to drive attention, that's going to kind of eat up a lot of social media buzz and stuff. And so Golden Globes, Grammys, they take up January. You don't want to be up against those. And so it's unlikely that we're going to see Game of Thrones Season 8 in January. Let's keep going. What happens the first Sunday in February?
Well, that
of 2019?
Is the Super Bowl, of course.
That will be Super Bowl 53. They will not debut Game of Thrones opposite the Super Bowl. So you're like, okay, what's next? Well, just 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, it's the NBA All-Star Game.
Yeah.
You think Game of Thrones, they'd be willing to schedule that against?
Yeah, I think that one doesn't bother me. But the Oscars, the Golden Globes, the Grammys.
Well, that's the thing. Say you debut Game of Thrones opposite the NBA All-Star Game and you're not afraid of it. Guess what happens the very next week?
What happens?
The Academy Awards.
Oh, boy.
February 24th of 2019. Are the Oscars. So you can't have your second episode go up against the Oscars, so they're not going to debut it in February of 2019 either.
All right, so What about March?
March, you would think by March you're out of the way of all those big events and big Sunday night events that happen in a year. Would you be afraid to do Game of Thrones up against March Madness here in the United States? I don't think
no,
you would.
No, I don't think you'd be worried about that.
So, Game of Thrones, do you think it possibly could be March of 2019? Or, as it originally, it always was in an April debut. And it's only going to go 6 weeks. So April, that gets you in a good – you want to get a bunch of awards. You want to be nominated for Emmys. You want to be nominated for things. When do you go on the air for the last year of Game of Thrones when you think you're going to win a lot of Emmys? When is March or April? When is the best time to get your show on the air? When do they nominate for the Emmys, Catfish?
Oh, boy.
Don't you vote for them?
I do vote for them, but there's initial voting. Oh, I believe it's right around in March or April where it happens. So
you would want to be on the air then, so you're right in Emmy voters' minds.
The thing is, yeah, you want to be on the air. First of all, you have to see kind of when the cutoff is.
Oh, when the cutoff, well. Right. That's a good point because
that's more important.
Because the way the Emmys work is they have this cutoff date, and most of your show has to have aired before the cutoff date, right? Like, so yeah. if it's a 6-episode season, if 3 episodes air before the cutoff date and 3 airs after the cutoff date, then you wouldn't be eligible for the 2019 Emmys. You actually wouldn't be eligible until the 2020 Emmys, and that's too long. So I think HBO does care about that stuff. They do care about winning awards. Why? Because it's a subscription service here in the United States. They need people to subscribe. How do you get people to subscribe, have buzzworthy shows that win awards. And so I think their schedule can't be in January or February up against those things. I think they want their 6 episodes to run kind of against no competition on a Sunday night. They'd crush it anyway, but they don't want something big like an Academy Award.
Okay, so I'm just looking here. So the eligibility for the 2017 Emmys.
Yeah, this year's it had to or last year's Emmys, sorry, yeah.
June of 2016 to the end of May 31st, 2017.
Okay.
So they'd want it to run before...
So April and May.
Be done by the end of May.
Right, and you don't want it to air on a holiday here in the United States at the end of May is Memorial Day. So you would want to air it before then because you don't want to air on a Sunday Memorial Day. HBO was very upset. They actually aired on a Memorial Day weekend back in season 2, and it really hurt the ratings for what they thought was a standout episode. So if – let's just go to the calendar. So if episode 6, the final episode, has to air before Memorial Day of 2019 –
well, that gives them in if they're going to do it March, April, May, that gives them 12 weeks.
Right. So let's just go back. So Memorial.
They could even do it in the first week of April, and they'd still be done by the middle of May.
Right. So Memorial Day weekend is the 25th, 26th. That's the Sunday is the 26th and 27th of 2019. So if it ends the weekend before Memorial Day, the 20th, that would mean it would premiere on April 15th.
Okay.
April 15th. So that is our current prediction of when we'll be waiting for. So if it's January of 2018 right now, dude, that's like 14 months. That's so much time. Holy smokes. Will people still care? Will people still be listening to our podcast?
It depends 14 on whether more we're still doing now. Our podcast.
Right. What if we're not alive?
Oh, my God.
I went real dark.
I'm getting old there.
Right. So go to Facebook.com/DoublePodcast.
Keep us alive.
Tell us why our characters are still alive. But also tell us when you think it will be. So that was our guess.
All right. And I think that's very, very well reasoned there. But it was very Joffrey-like in your perspicacity.
I'm king now. King now.
Okay, Catfish. Let's get to book bitching. And so book bitching... we mentioned it at the top of this podcast. Book bitching is where we look at the show and see if it's going to give us any hints as to where the books are going to go. So we've seen pretty much up to season 5 in the books, but we've now had season 6 and season 7.
Right.
So what does that imply where the books might go? And in today's book bitching, we're going to be looking at the Iron Throne. The most important quote, I believe, or the one we're going to use as kind of our base point from George R. R. Martin, the author of Game of Thrones and A Song of Ice and Fire, is in 2013, he told an audience, he said, there will be several more people taking the Iron Throne before the end. So that's what he said in 2013. This is after the fifth book had come out, A Dance with Dragons. And at that point, really only three more people had sat on the Iron Throne, meaning Robert, Joffrey, and Tommen. So far in the show, only one extra person has sat on the Iron Throne since then, and that's Cersei.
Mm-hmm.
So if he says there'll be several more people taking the throne before the end, how many would you imagine several are? Three more people? Four more people? Or just two, which theoretically the show, you would imagine, could only have two more people sitting the Iron Throne. You know, Cersei is one, and right. then maybe the person at the end is the other.
Right. Well, it could be there's going to be that last minute switcheroo, right? Because it's Cersei,
right.
and then it's going to be whoever we think is going to take over the Iron Throne,
right.
and then Joffrey again.
Cha-ching!
So when he said several more people, it's kind of a little bit of a fake out.
So, Joffrey of Podcast We Are, first of his name, first in your hearts. Let's just look at it. Now, once again, listeners, we're going to go into some book stuff. If you haven't read the books and don't want to be spoiled on it, sign out now. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WP Podcast, and give us your guess as to when Game of Thrones will be back in 2019. So the first thing we're going to look at is a character who's actually dead on the show, but might actually sit the throne in the books. And who is that? That's Myrcella. Before we even talk about Myrcella, let's talk about the infamous prophecy that we saw on the show. It goes slightly deeper in the books, but the prophecy said from this character, Maggie the Frog, it said, Cersei's asking, how many children will she have? Maggie the Frog says, oh, aye, 6 and 10 for him and 3 for you. Gold shall be their crowns, and gold shall be their shrouds. So that's the prophecy. Now, of course, all Cersei's children with Jaime did have gold hair, but technically, Myrcella never had a crown on the show. She never sat the Iron Throne. But Myrcella, in the books, is still alive, and if Tommen were to die, she would technically be the next person in line for the throne, not Cersei. So is there a chance that Myrcella would sit the throne? Admittedly, she'd have to die based on this prophecy and based on the show. But could Myrcella, could the order of the death of Cersei's other children besides Joffrey be opposite in the books? Where in the show, Myrcella died on a boat and then Tommen died. In the books, she's heading back to King's Landing. Is it possible she survives that trip and then somehow Tommen dies and then she gets the throne? Why would the show have switched up the order? I'm going to go to a quote by Dan Weiss. He told Entertainment Weekly in March of 2015, he said, we didn't know if it, meaning Dorne, would fit in the show, to be honest, because of budgeting, scheduling, and story reasons. There were a lot of ways we had to cram it in. Then, on the Blu-ray, Benioff and Weiss, once again, of Season 5, they said they never thought the subplot in Dorne itself would ever appear, because it didn't involve any previously established cast members. They did know Oberyn and Ilaria would appear in Season 4, but they weren't sure if the narrative would ever go to Dorne. Belatedly, writer Brian Cogman suggested that they invent the detail that, hey, Jaime and Bronn could go to Dorne, and that's the way you could do Dorne in Season 5. So the point would be, well, okay, if we do Dorne, something has to happen there, something major happened there. Oh, so we'll kill Myrcella. And so that's why maybe on the show she dies before Tommen. Do you think there's any way that Myrcella, once again, this is actually kind of, I think, one of the least likely, but any chance that in the books they die in a different order and Myrcella sits the Iron Throne? What do you think?
I think Myrcella could sit the Iron Throne. I think it's a larger percentage than you would think.
Okay.
I mean, it would be extra painful for Cersei.
Oh, right. Yeah, if she got to see her daughter again and then the daughter died, as opposed to the way the show had it, is she said goodbye to her daughter in Season 2 and then never saw her alive again. And so,
yeah. I mean, I'm not sure I would want to take the throne after all three of my children died on the throne, but...
Okay, so that's one option for when George Martin said, you know, once again, the quote we're going off is, several more people taking the throne before the end.
I'm telling Mother!
So now we're going to look at an infamous book-only character. This is a character who didn't make the show. In my own guess, I would think it's actually pretty smart that he didn't make the show. And Catfish, it felt like you were very frustrated that this new character got introduced in the fifth book. Like, wait, we're introducing yet somebody else? And that is, of course, Aegon, a.k.a. fake Aegon, a.k.a.
Fagon.
Fagon, exactly right. Fagon, let me just go through something I've said on multiple podcasts, but I just want to get to it again. So George R.R. Martin, he said that these books, you know, he takes history and then he kind of twists it for his own way. This is so much based on the War of the Roses. And I always said there's the infamous story about the princes in the tower. This was Edward V and Richard of Shrewsbury, these two boys who were the only son of Edward IV and Elizabeth Woodville. And their father died. And so they are these two boys, and they should have been king. But of course, who got them? Richard, their uncle, got them, brought them into the Tower of London. These kids disappeared. Nobody knew whatever happened to these two kids. So I always thought, well, why does Rickon Stark exist? I thought, well, George wanted to do his own version of Two Boys in the Tower, and that Bran and Rickon were in Winterfell. They disappear, kind of like these two princes in the tower disappeared. Now, in history, of course, what ends up happening? In history, the father in that story, Edward IV, and Elizabeth Woodville, Edward IV gets killed. Edward IV shouldn't have married Elizabeth Woodville, so that's a bit like the Rob and Jane Westerling / Talissa story from the show. But the next part of history is where Fagon comes from. So these two princes in the tower, they disappeared. What ended up happening? Real people in history started coming over the quote-unquote narrow sea, a.k.a. over from France, and they'd say, hey, you know that those missing princes? That's me. I'm the missing prince. One was this guy named Lambert Simnel, who attempted to get the throne, saying, you know, hey, I'm one of the princes in the tower. There was this guy named Perkin Warbeck. You know, he said, I'm one of the princes in the tower. So I felt like Fagon is George R. R. Martin trying to do this. It's like, you know what? Hey, I'm trying to have my own fake princes show up. And so that's what I think Fagon is. So what will Fagon do? Could he possibly sit the Iron Throne? Well, this is where it gets really thick in the weeds. What do I personally think Fagon will do? I think Fagon will do something that on the show Jaime Lannister just did in season 7. George R. R. Martin, this is to Entertainment Weekly in 2015. He said, the Tyrell family, Loras is not the eldest son in the books. You know, on the show, Loras Tyrell was the only son, and he blew up in the Sept. In the books, there are these two older brothers, Willis and Garland. And he said, I didn't just put them in the books for hoots and giggles. They have roles to play in the last two books, but they don't exist in the show. He says, I wish we had more time, but the showrunners cut them. Now, Willis is a crippled brother with a bad leg. So he's stuck in Highgarden. So how...
Not only that, he's obviously one of George R. R. Martin's famous favorites.
Yeah, cripples, bastards. Crippled. But here's the thing. So if Willis is going to be in the story and George Martin says he has a role to play, the only way he can be in the story, because he's crippled and he's trapped at Highgarden, is if a character goes to Highgarden. So in the show, they had Jaime go there. But who else could possibly go to Highgarden on the show? Well, I mean, in the books, maybe Jaime could in the books, maybe Sam could. But the POV character most likely to, who is at least closest to that, is John Connington, one of the commanders of Fagon's army.
Now, are you sure?
Yeah.
Just a quick question here. Are you sure that this wasn't just a long, elaborate joke by George R. R. Martin so that someone could go and show up there in
right.
Highgarden? And then Willis says something crazy, and the character says to him, what you talking about, Willis?
Well, don't spoil the books for us, Catfish. This is book bitching segment, but come on. Why and how could Fagon's forces overthrow Highgarden? Well, many book fans believe that the Tarleys are going to help overthrow Highgarden, but the book fans believe the Tarleys are actually in favor of Aegon. In the show, the Tarleys helped Jaime overthrow Highgarden. I think there's a chance in the books the Tarleys will help Fagon overthrow it. Now, here are the hints from the books. This is from A Dance with Dragons, chapter The Griffin Reborn, and so this is within Fagon's troops. This character, Laswell Peaks, rapped his knuckles on the table and said, even after a century, some of us still have friends in the Reach. The power of Highgarden may not be what Mace Tyrell imagines. So here's somebody in Fagon's troops saying he has friends in the Reach and that they're not friends, you know, it's not Mace Tyrell. Who's one of the few characters in the Reach? Tarly. Tarly in the books is currently headed to Storm's End. Guess who's currently headed to Storm's End in the books? Fagon. Many fans believe Randall Tarly is going to betray the Tyrells. He's going to where Fagon is. He'll help get in line with them. Kevin Lannister in the Dance with Dragons epilogue thinks to himself, Tarly is the real danger, a narrow man, but iron-willed and shrewd, and as good a soldier as the Reach could boast. So if Fagon overthrows the Tyrells, what do you think? Would you be happy of Fagon taking the Iron Throne, Catfish? What do you think?
No. No, it's the same problem I had originally. It's like we're more than halfway through the series. I mean... Why take this time to waste putting somebody on the throne that that's been shoehorned in. I feel shoehorned in.
Well, the only reason why I would imagine he could is because, once again, that first quote, Martin saying many people will take the Iron Throne. I'm looking at book characters. Fagon could do it. I see his forces overthrowing the Tyrells. And so then that would kind of line up with the show. How he would then get to King's Landing, I don't know. How he would take that from the Lannister forces that are still there in the books beats the heck out of me. But I could see him being one of the people. I like his chances a little slightly better than Marcellus, but I don't 100% agree.
I'm telling Mother.
But now let's get to one who's in the show. And I think even the show could have him sit the Iron Throne. That's good old Uncle Euron.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's get to it, everybody. This is from a preview chapter of The Winds of Winter. So it's not just we're going to be spoiling a dance all the books, but here's one from the upcoming book. If you don't want to know about a preview chapter from the next book, skip ahead. So one of the Greyjoys, his brother Arion, he's given the drug Nightshade, and he has a vision. We know George Martin loves visions for how they can possibly foreshadow the future. So here's Arion's vision about his brother. He showed the world, his brother means, his blood eye now dark and terrible. Clad head to heel in a scale as dark as onyx, he sat upon a mound of blackened skulls as dwarf capered around his feet and a forest burned behind him. Then Euron lifted a great horn to his lips and blew, and dragons and krakens and sphinxes came at his command and bowed before him. "Kneel, brother," the crow's eye commanded. "Never. No godless man shall sit the sea stone chair. Why would I want that black, hard black rock, brother? Look again and see where I am seated." Arryn Dampar looked. The mound of skulls was gone. Now it was a metal underneath the crow's eye. A great tall twisted seat of razor-sharp iron, barbs and blades and broken swords all dripping blood. Impaled upon the longer spikes were the bodies of the gods. The maiden was there, and the father and the mother and the warrior and the crone and the smith, even the stranger. They hung side by side with all manner of queer foreign gods. The great shepherd and the black goat, the three-headed Trios and the pale child Bacchalron, the lord of light and the butterfly god of Nath. They were swollen and green and half-devoured by crabs, and the drowned god festered with the rest, seawater dripping from his hair. The dreams, he has another vision through this. He saw longships of the Ironborn adrift and burning on a boiling blood-red sea. He saw his brother on the Iron Throne again, but Euron was no longer human. He seemed more squid than man, a monster fathered by a kraken of the deep, his face a mass of writhing tentacles. Beside him stood a shadow of in a woman's form, long and tall and terrible, her hands alive with pale white fire. Dwarves capered it for their amusement, male and female, naked and misshapen, locked in a carnal embrace, tearing at each other as Euron and his mates laughed and laughed and laughed.
Sounds like a hell of a party.
So there, in the next book, somebody's going to have a vision of Euron on the Iron Throne. Catfish. Why in the world could Euron get on the Iron Throne? How could he do it? Well, let's talk about it.
Well, he's got some sea superiority, right? He's got some real power.
Oh,
and even
yeah.
though, you know, he may not be in an advantageous position on the show, he could even possibly take it on the show.
That's what I'm saying. So now I want to think about how and when he could take it on the show and in the books. I go to the Scouring of the Shire, which is the penultimate chapter.
You always do
of
that.
Lord You're, of the Rings.
That's your backup, always, Scouring of the Shire.
It's the 18th chapter of Return of the Kings. The hobbits, Frodo, Sam, Merry, and Pippin, return home. They've defeated the great other, the great evil, Sauron. They come home, they find the Shire despoiled and corrupted with ruffians and their wizard leader, Saruman. The heroes defeat the White Walkers. They come back to King's Landing, and what do they find? King Landing with the equivalent of a Saruman, Euron on the throne. What did we see on the show? Cersei was talking to the guy from the Iron Bank. She's like, "Look, I've got all this gold. I've got Euron Greyjoy with me." And what did the banker say? "For now." Why wouldn't Euron betray Cersei and take the Iron Throne? Wouldn't it be like Scouring of the Shire? Our heroes defeat the White Walkers and the other, and then come back and realize, oh crap, while we were gone, everything went to hell. So what's interesting, though, is in The Lord of the Rings, who killed Saruman?
Who?
Grima Wormtongue. Now let me read this description of Grima Wormtongue. Grima became increasingly degraded until he was a crawling wretch, a beggar, almost resembling Gollum. Saruman shortened his nickname to Worm. Who has been degraded to a wretch? Somebody I like to call Reek.
Mm.
And so you could recreate the scouring of the Shire.
Recreate?
Mm-hmm. You could recreate that moment by having Euron on the Iron Throne and then the Grima Wormtail of the tail. The Grima Wormtail. The Grima Wormtongue in this version. Reek, a.k.a. Theon, kill him, just like they did in the show. How do you like that? You like Euron sitting the Iron Throne catfish.
Oh, I love it. I love his bravado. I want to see that on the Iron Throne.
Yeah, me. I'm completely with you. We got to talk about a couple other people sitting the Iron Throne. But any other thoughts about Euron? Sorry.
No other thoughts about Euron, but I'm curious. You know how we always talk about, you know, George R. R. Martin talks, you know, that it's that although he is talking about the highborn,
that
there's sort of a concern for the lower caste people. So I wonder if you see anybody who is not royalty or of royal blood sitting the throne temporarily.
Hmm.
What about our boy Bronn?
Oh, boy. He could make it saucy. Great. He's still alive in the books.
And, you know, he just likes the plunder. Now, part of me thinks like he might think it might be too much work. He just wants to kick back.
Yeah, that's actually a good call. That's a good call.
He wants to kick back. But I want to see how about good old Double P?
Double P?
Podrick Payne.
Boy, that's when you say lower than low. He's pretty – well, he's got a last name. So he's got some family in him. I could see it.
How about – now, this is a little bit out there, just a touch out there. But you know what the castle needs? You know what King's Landing needs to be known for? Right now, it's known for despotism.
Oh, yeah.
What it needs to be known for is good food. Put hot pie on the throne.
Oh, boy.
Hot pie on the throne.
There'd be – everybody would be cool with that.
People would be love it. They'd be love it.
Every single person would be good with that.
I'm telling mother.
Well, all right. Now, let's talk briefly about Cersei on the Iron Throne. The prophecy in the books and the show said all her kids were going to die. Why wouldn't Cersei just take the Iron Throne in the books herself? And if she did it – how in the world would she leave it? We don't believe that Cersei's going to be on the Iron Throne, right?
No, but I kind of like, and maybe it's just I'm prejudiced by kind of what we've seen in the show, but I like the fact that, okay, Cersei gets on the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
She needs help.
Right.
And somebody doesn't need to be, you know, it could be Fhaegon, it could be somebody else, it could be Euron. She needs assistance from somebody, and they sort of push her aside.
Oh, yeah. And that would really drive her nuts.
Cersei and then followed by somebody else, yeah.
All right, so I've been thinking about how Cersei would fall from the Iron Throne. And this...
I already answered that question.
You did, but here's one that I'm going way out on a... I'm like casting this net in the middle of a dry creek and seeing if I'm catching any fish. That's how crazy it is, but I'm going to try it. Let's go back to the book version of the prophecy. Mm-hmm. This didn't play in the show at all. Maggie the Frog, she said, you know, after... gold their shrouds about her kids, she said, and when your tears, this is Cersei, and when she's talking about Cersei, and when your tears have drowned you, the Valonqar shall wrap his hands around your pale white throat and choke the life from you. Valonqar, we're told in other chapters,
mm-hmm.
you have to do the math, take the word Valonqar, and then add that to what we're told Valonqar means in a later chapter, means little/younger brother. So many people think, well, obviously it's got to be Tyrion or Jaime. It would make the most sense if it was Jaime. So I was thinking, well, how would Jaime kill her and strangle her, especially since he's got a gold hand? How is he going to do it? And why would he do it? And then I thought back.
With his other hand.
Right. That's exactly right. So then I thought back, pale white throat.
Uh-huh.
I thought, what would happen there? What is in the very first chapter, in the very first book of Game of Thrones? Somebody getting strangled by a zombie. When they are at the Wildling camp, these two Night's Watchmen, Will and Waymar, they can't find any bodies. Will climbs a tree to look for bodies, and both men suddenly feel colder. Waymar Royce is surrounded by the others, the White Walkers, and though Waymar bravely duels another, he is blinded when his long sword shatters, and the group of others swiftly kill him. Will stays in the tree until he's sure all the White Walkers have left. Will descends. And when he's down at the bottom of the tree, zombie Waymore, white version of Waymore Royce, strangles him. So here's my shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. Maybe Euron pushes Cersei off the Iron Throne, or zombie Jaime comes back and chokes Cersei, just like zombie Waymore Royce chokes somebody he was after. In the books and in the show in season one, the Night's Watchmen, who are dead, who are brought back through the wall, they just don't go randomly killing people. They try to kill Commander Mormont, somebody they knew, somebody who they had to follow. If Jaime got turned into a zombie, who is the person he knew? Who is the person he tried to kill? Cersei. That's my crazy, wild theory.
Wow, I like it. Fun. It's fun.
I'm telling Mother.
All right, and then I just threw in this one more good one. So the Golden Company's been mentioned on the show. The Golden Company mm-hmm. is technically part of the Fagon plot. They're his army mm-hmm. in the books. But thinking about the Golden Company, who is also part of the Fagon and Golden Company situation in the books? Varys the Spider. Daenerys said that Varys is going to die next season, season 8. In the books, Varys isn't on Team Daenerys. He's on Team Fagon. He's with the Golden Company. Is there any crazy chance that since they're introducing the Golden Company but not Fagon on the show, that the Golden Company won't be fighting for Fagon, but fighting for Varys himself? And Varys will sit the Iron Throne because he is a Targaryen bastard. And that's why they cut off his cock, because of royal blood, threw it in the flame. Varys sits the Iron Throne when the Golden Company betrays Cersei for him. How's that for a crazy out there theory?
It's crazy and it's out there. And I'm going to give credit to Varys.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say he's too smart to sit on the Iron Throne.
Well, I'm saying they're going to have to
because people, when you're on the Iron Throne, you got a target on your back, and that's why he likes to operate behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying that because he's not on Daenerys' side, he's on, quote-unquote, the losing side in the books, he's going to die some way in the books for being, you know, not supporting Daenerys and Jon Snow, quote-unquote, the good guys. And so on the show, you would assume he has to die as well, and that is the only reason I could think why the Golden Company got introduced so late. It's a crazy shot. Listeners, tell us what you think. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's the word double, the single letter P, the word podcast, plural. Tell us who you think these many, let me say the quote one more time. Several more people taking the Iron Throne before the end. Tell us who you think those people are.
Very busy.
Okay, Catfish, it's now time to end this Joffrey podcast the way we end every Joffrey podcast.
Yes.
With our Joffrey of the Week. A Joffrey to get us into 2018.
Wow, 2018. 2018 Joffreys. So since it's a new year, let's do a new tradition, and we'll have you start.
Thank you so much, Catfish. Joffrey disappeared when he was needed, when the Seven Kingdoms needed him, mm-hmm. came back at the end to save his team. Mm-hmm. The Seven Kingdoms. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Our boy, Aaron Rodgers, injured, disappeared from his team, the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Then he came back when they were in the playoff race and led them to a noble loss. Now he's on IR. Packers aren't in the playoffs now. We're enjoying them not being in the playoffs. But for coming back like Joffrey, even though for Aaron Rodgers it ended up sad, his an attempt to pull a Joffrey makes him my Joffrey to start off 2018.
Now, see, this is why I should always start off with the Joffreys instead of you, because I actually came up with a Joffrey that follows along in your pattern.
Oh, good.
Without meaning to.
Oh, good.
There is...
Yeah.
Someone who plays in the same sport and the same position.
Ooh.
Who most people think is evil, but they don't understand him.
Oh, no.
He's an amazingly handsome, upright.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I see where we're going here. Okay, yeah.
And he is someone who has persevered for years and years at the top of his field, just like Joffrey.
Oh, yeah.
And just like Joffrey. Mm-hmm. He eats avocado ice cream and drinks water and eats carrots. And that is The Unkillable.
Right.
The Ageless.
Would you call him a Golden Boy?
Golden Boy.
Like Joffrey.
Tom Brady.
Oh, wow. We are ready for the playoffs, everybody.
That's right. Playoff time is here.
Once again, go to our Facebook page. Tell us who your Joffrey of the Week is. We always want to know. We are going to be going through the long night, the long winter, until what we're guessing is April 15th of 2019. For everybody here on the Joffrey Podcast, my name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I am Catfish, and you can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter. And as always, with love in our heart and strength in our will, we'll talk to you next time on
the Joffrey of Podcasts.
Football edition.
I'll sit the Iron Throne. Me too.
I'm telling mother.
And Trim, that's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And now that it's 2018, here's somebody with me whose balls drop. Okay, sorry, edit that. Somebody with me. It's Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?